Hey friends, welcome. One of my favorite pastors is going to be our guest today on Worldview Matters. What are we going to be talking about? Israel, Gaza, Syria, the media, the challenges of Israel's hostage negotiations. We'll talk a little bit about U.S. politics, maybe Russia, Ukraine, Zelensky. We'll get to some of that now or in the next episode on Worldview Matters with Brandon Holthaus. That's next.
Welcome to Worldview Matters. Discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, welcome. And I want to mention we have a new YouTube channel as of the last couple of months, Worldview Matters, David Fiorazzo. And I want to send you to Brandon Holthaus, Pastor Brandon's Tip of the Spear ministry. It's on YouTube, Tip of the Spear - Brandon Holthaus. And he's the pastor at Rock Harbor Church in, I almost said the great state of California. It's sad I can't say that any longer. But Brandon, brother, so good to see you. Thanks for your time.
David's always good to see you, man. And yes, this is greetings from the land of fruits and nuts here in California. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, man, the headlines on Newsom have been very interesting lately. But we'll get to that maybe in the next podcast, because we're going to do another one with you next week. Let's talk about briefly, I want to get to your Israel trip that you just got back from. But you recently did a show on Tip of the Spear with John Haller. And you talked about the ancient hatred of the Edomites unveiling the roots of Hamas war against Israel. Can you give us a little teaser on that, what that was about?
Yeah, you know, what John and I talked about is a passage in Ezekiel 35 that talks about, the phrase in that talks about the ancient or perpetual hatred of the Edomites. And it's a passage that is not something that's, you know, something that happened in history, but will continue on until the Edomites are dealt with by God. And obviously, the Edomites are the descendants of Esau. And like John and I talked about, the descendants of Ishmael and Esau actually intermarried and obviously produced this people group. Well, this people group is predicted to be a thorn in Israel's side all the way to the end times. And the Bible predicts that the Edomites are going to have to be dealt with by Israel and God, supernaturally empowering Israel to finally deal with the Edomites. And really the modern day equivalent of like, well, who are the Edomites? Well, a lot of people have conjectured that that is the Arab people surrounding Israel, primarily the Arab people, or ex-Jordanians, I should say, of the what we call the Palestinians. Hmm. I don't like to use the term Palestinians because that's a made-up term from the 60s, right?
Yes,
and we all know that. But they are ex-Jordanians, but really they're Arab in descent. But many of them can trace their roots back to descendants of Esau and Ishmael. And so, exactly as Ezekiel predicted, they have become a thorn in Israel's side, as we see the Gaza and what's going on there. So if you want to know if the Bible's relevant, it definitely is relevant. It is speaking into our world today, you know?
Big time. I mean, we've got Isaac and Ishmael and the descendants, and now the Edomites. That's a very fascinating scripture there. Give us the passage in Ezekiel again for that one, Brandon.
It's Ezekiel 35, and when you read that passage, the key passage you want to look at is when Ezekiel says that God tells the Edomites, the descendants of Esau, you have had a perpetual or an ancient hatred. It's translated, and it's like ongoing. And David, this bears in mind this hostility that you see from Hamas or the people of Gaza and even the civilians, so-called, this hatred of, we're not going to be appeased by you giving us money, you giving us land. We want to annihilate the Jews. And if you read that passage, that is the intent of the perpetual hatred you see from the Edomites, which it could be seen in most of the Arab world that follows Islam, that wants to wipe Israel out. And that's why we have heard the term, the song, "To the River, to the Sea." That means a total annihilation of Israel. And that's from what Ezekiel predicted, that that's what they would want to do, that they would encamp around Israel and seek to destroy her. And God's basically telling them, look, you're going to try to do this and you're going to seek to destroy her, but I'm going to be the one who destroys you in the end. And so obviously has an eschatological fulfillment in the future. But David, the stage is there being set. We see this hatred. And that, look, you can't, look, I've talked to our IDF units. We support about 5-6 IDF units. And we talk to the soldiers, David, and the soldiers that went into Gaza. And they tell us, hey, look, man, some of the things we saw were off the chart barbaric and demonic, really. And then they said this. What you have to understand, Brent, there is no civilians per se. I go, what do you mean by that? Because the media always tells us they're civilians. And he goes, we went into the civilian areas and they picked up guns and started shooting at us. We went into the civilian houses in Gaza. All of them had RPGs, weapons, and all anti-Israel propaganda. In fact, it was a lot of the civilians that were holding the hostages captive. And so they went in there to free the hostages. We interviewed one soldier, and the soldier was saying, the minute we went in there, the civilians picked up weapons and started firing on us. So the myth that there are civilians there, I'm sorry, you pick up a weapon, you start firing on an IDF soldier, you're now a military combatant. And that's what people have to understand, is that this hatred is so deep. It's satanic, David. And it permeates all through that area in Gaza. And it has become a demonic haunt. You know, you think about, that's where the Philistines came from, or attacked Israel. And this section of land has been a perpetual problem for Israel and will continue.
Yeah. Thank you for pointing that out about the civilians there, because our media, unfortunately, complicit as they are with the godless worldview and ideologies, they say, all the innocent people of Gaza. Now, there may be some. I mean, there's some women and children there, but there are a lot of them that, as you said, they're doing some of the damage. They're doing some of the attacks. And by the way, how are they raising their children? What ideology are they teaching their kids? You know, but let's move on, Brandon. You were over in Israel. What's one thing that you took away from that trip that was eye-opening for you that you might want to share with us?
Couple things. Israel is in what we call not PTSD, but I think the phrase is a continual stress disorder. I don't know the proper phrasing, but because of this war and what's been happening and the constant rocket fire from Hezbollah, the Houthis, Iran, all that, they are destabilized as a people. Now, they're unified, but the problem is when you talk about PTSD or current stress disorder, it does a lot of things to you. And what I am seeing, first of all, is it's developing their need for security, which you and I know, David, eventually sets them up for looking for security from the Antichrist. And so I'm seeing that set up. The second thing is Israel does not produce its own military arsenal. They get it from the United States. And thank God Trump's in office. But when Biden was in office, they were being slow walked the arms. This also makes Israel vulnerable because they don't manufacture their own weapons. Let's just say we go through 4 years and Trump gets out, or maybe even Trump gets assassinated or something, and the rules of the game change in America. Well, what does that mean for Israel? That means Israel will be cut off from their weapons if someone is antagonistic towards them in the U.S. presidency. And that makes them vulnerable to the Antichrist as well. Third, the thing I would say, it's from our contacts in the IDF, Israel has called up over 400,000 reservists. That's more than they did after October 7th. And it seems to indicate they will not tell us what's going on, but they just tell us that all the troops have been called up.
Wow.
It seems to indicate that something big is going down, about to go down, I should say. I don't know if that means in the north. I don't know if that means eliminating Hamas or Iran. I don't know. But when you call up over 400,000 reservists, that means you're preparing for something.
Wow.
And so we need to be watching what's going to transpire here in the days to come.
Wow. So much going on. And you did some videos. You did some videos, teaching videos.
Yeah.
Tell us briefly about that, and then we'll move on to this poll from Gallup.
Yeah, just real quick. I worked with an archaeologist there, and I was able to get on the Temple Mount. And this is important for what we're talking about in Israel. And what he showed me on the Temple Mount is where the court of the Gentiles were. And I saw the wall, the partition that kept the Gentiles out, because I actually got on the Temple Mount, which is very rare. And I got to film, David, which you can't do, but we did anyway. And so anyway, what the archaeologist was showing me is that the exact place of where the temple was is exactly where the Dome of the Rock is. And that rock right there has a lot of cutouts in it, and you can see it, you know, if someone looks it up online. But that rock that the Dome of the Rock covers is where the Holy of Holies was. So here's what we know from prophecy. We know that a Jewish temple will be rebuilt. Mm-hmm. And basically what the archaeologist was telling me is that the only place that temple can be built is right where the Dome of the Rock sits. It can't be put to the north. It can't be put to the south. So that implies that something must happen in the future, David, to the Dome of the Rock that allows the Jews to rebuild their temple on the spot where the temple was. Wow. So I thought that was fascinating to be able to see that. And he showed me the first century ground. I saw it and we filmed it, and like, okay, well, that's where the temple was. That's right where it was. So some implications there, obviously. And then obviously Israel has its red heifers, and they're eventually wanting to sacrifice because that will purify the people and the location. So a lot of things are heading in that direction, David.
And we've got so much to cover here with Pastor Brandon Holthaus, but I wanted to get to this Gallup poll, bring it back to America. American sympathies regarding the Middle East are sharply shifting against Israel. And this is a Gallup poll. Yeah. Recently, it came out from last month. It found that 46% of Americans sympathize with Israelis and 33% sympathize with Palestinians, and that's the lowest level of support for the Jewish state in the 25 years of the survey's existence.
Yeah.
So, Pastor Brandon, I think before October 7, we would see a poll like this and go, "Wow, really? That can't be right." But right. after what we've seen in American streets and on college campuses, mm-hmm. it makes sense. Can you talk just a little bit about your thoughts on this poll and the shifting lack of support, less support for Israel?
Well, this is the one thing we see in the demographics of the United States. The older population is very pro-Israel. Okay, even the conservative aspects were very pro-Israel. But what's happening not only in the culture among conservatives, but also among the evangelicals, is a lack of support for Israel among the younger people. Now, I'm going to tie this to where this is coming from. It's coming from our colleges and universities, David, because part of the woke narrative is to demonize Israel as a white occupier who took over a land and ejected the so-called Palestinians out of the land. And so they have, in the colleges and universities, have positioned Israel as part of an oppressor class, part of the white racist class. And now, if you go to a college and university and you get brainwashed by the woke mantras, you're going to come out demonized. And we see this at Columbia. We see this at Harvard, MIT, UCLA. All the big campuses and prestigious campuses are now touting anti-Semitism. But here's another aspect. The colleges and universities have been threatened by the Trump administration, and like Columbia got defunded $400 million in federal grants. Well, that didn't even move them, David, because when economics doesn't move somebody off of what they've been doing, which is allowing pro-Hamas, anti-Semitism to hit the students, and the money doesn't affect you, that tells me something about the administration of the colleges and universities. And the administrations are what we call the credentialed elite, the leftist ideology that they believe is okay with doing harm to Israel, to hating Israel, to discriminating against Jewish students, which is a violation of the civil rights in 1965. They mm-hmm. have no problem. In fact, it fits their narrative to be pro-Hamas and anti-Semitic. So we are 5 to 10 years away from another generation being raised in our colleges and campuses of being a major voting bloc that hates Israel and hates Jewish people,
wow.
David. So this is what's going on, man.
Yeah, what you said is very important. When money, I mean, $400 million, when money doesn't cause them to shift, you know it's, first, demonic. Let's just say it demonic, but yeah, ideologically right. driven. They are definitely, and it's the campuses, the colleges have been that way for years. I just want to point out a couple more stats before we have to take yeah. a brief pause with Brandon. It says in 2015, only 15, 10 plus 5, 15% of Americans had sympathy for Palestinians. But that's doubled now. Yeah. Now it's 33% in less yeah. than 10 years. And how about politically? You just mentioned what the Trump administration is trying to do. 83% yeah. of Republicans have a favorable view of Israel. How many Democrats? Just 33% of Democrats. Right. That's a staggering 50-point partisan gap. And on yeah. on that note, when we come back with Pastor Brandon, we're talking about the challenges of Israel's hostage negotiations and also Christians under attack in Syria. That's coming up.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. Friends, thank you again for your support. Praise God. Be sure to follow us on our media platforms if you're not already following. Apple, Spotify for audio, Facebook, Rumble, YouTube. So far, so good. And our violating community standards and our Freedom Project Media app. Our new YouTube channel is Worldview Matters, David Fiorazzo. So Pastor Brandon over at Chosen People Ministries, they've got an article, The Challenges of Israel's Hostage Negotiations. Because some yeah. of us are really upset thinking, why don't they get them all? And like President yeah. Trump said, don't give us one here, two or three here. You know, they all need to be released. But Israel's in a tough situation. So let's jump yeah. right over to the stats of the current hostage deal from what this may have been from last month, this article. Let's just say 176 hostages are back in Israel. 79 hostages as at the time of this writing. We're still being held in Gaza. At the top, the head there is 35 are dead. 44 are presumed alive. There have been 41 recovered bodies. 8 have been rescued by the IDF. And Hamas has released 127. So, Pastor Brandon, what's your take on this? It's such a delicate situation, yeah. it seems. But because it's hard to use force and say, we demand our hostages be returned. What are your thoughts?
Well, Hamas understands that Israel's greatest strength is their greatest weakness. And what I mean by that is Israel values life. Mm-hmm. And they do not want to harm the hostages because going in there and trying to wipe out Hamas will kill. They will kill all the hostages. And mm-hmm. Israel knows that. So they use Israel's value of life mm-hmm. against them. And what Hamas is doing is playing a game. The longer they can keep the hostages, the longer they can string this out, and they know international pressure will get put on Israel, and eventually it allows them to survive and then regroup and eventually then take over the Gaza again. That's Hamas's intent. In fact, that's part of the negotiation strategy because the hostage release has a threefold release. We've already been through stage one, but stage two means that Israel must remove itself from the Gaza area and then allow Hamas and the Palestinians to go and repopulate the area. And of course, that seems intolerable. How in the world could you allow that? But that's stage two. Now, as you know, Trump intervened and said, hey, wait a second, we'll take over the Gaza. We're not going to let them take over it. And then, of course, the Arab countries all started vying in, saying, hey, we're going to also produce a project as well of us running the Gaza. But nonetheless, the problem Israel has is that if Israel wants to get back the bodies, if it wants to get back anybody alive, It has to play with kid gloves with Hamas, otherwise they'll kill everybody. And look how brutal they were. The Bibas kids came out, and the evidence showed that they had strangled these kids and then beat up the bodies to pretend that they were killed by Israeli air raids. It's a difficult situation. You can't just run in and just wipe out Hamas because they'll wipe out your people. So it's a very tricky thing.
Friends, I believe that's a brilliant response, Pastor Brandon. Their value for life. That's why that's their greatest strength is their greatest weakness. So thank you for that. That was, hey, friends, that's worth the gas money or the internet connection money, whatever. So let's, because we're running out of time, let's talk about Syria now.
Sure.
And the sad news coming out of there, because we've known that ever since they had new leadership there, Al-Qaeda linked terror forces aligned with Syria's interim new president. He's a former Al-Qaeda terrorist. And over this was from last week, over 1,300 people, including Christians, have been killed in Syria just in the last couple of weeks. And I want to share with you a headline over at Harbinger's Daily from Eric Stackelbeck. He said, Syria's new jihadist government reveals its true face. Quote, we're coming for the Christians. And we've heard this before, the Saturday people first, Sunday people next, meaning the Saturday worshipers, the Jews, and then we're coming for the Sunday worshipers, the Christians. This ideology is not just against the Jews. Basically, that's what this summed up as what he's saying there. Just your thoughts on what's going on in Syria. And there's a lot more witnesses talking about what they're doing to women and children. It's just tragic. And our media is not covering it, which is infuriating.
Right.
Go ahead, Pastor Brandon.
Well, there's a reason the media is not covering it, because it involves Islamic terrorism. And the guy, Jilani, who took the position of after this coup on Bashar Assad, and of course, Bashar Assad fled the country. This guy, Jilani, is nothing but an Al-Qaeda or ISIS terrorist guy. He was on the American watch list for global terrorism. I think we had a $25 million most wanted reward for him. And anyway, he decides to do a coup and take over. And that was from the backing of Turkey. Turkey was backing him in all of this, funding him and supporting him. So this guy is a jihadist. And he said, this is so funny, David. He goes, when he was in place, he basically trimmed his beard up. No longer the jihadi beard, but a nice trim beard. He put a three-piece suit on to pretend he's Western. And then he said he's going to have a more inclusive jihad.
There you go.
Now, it's like saying flaming snowballs. That's what the guy said. So here's the thing. He's a terrorist. And what they're doing is they're not only killing the Alawites, but they're going after the Christians and killing them as well. And they're slaughtering them. And we don't have all the numbers, but you quoted the numbers. This is a genocide. Yeah. And no one is reporting this. And so these Christians are at stake, and just regular Syrians are at stake because of this guy.
Yeah. We're getting these numbers from Open Doors or Voice of the Martyrs or Premier Christian News and other places like that. Obviously not our own liberal Marxist media in America. And I said that very purposefully, but we've got 4 minutes left, Brandon. So there's another article over at Harbinger's Daily. Syrian church leaders call for an end to the massacres. These are killing sprees. But I want to ask you, what can America do something here? Because reacting to the attacks, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio acknowledges that they're targeting Christians and other minorities. And he said this, quote, the United States condemns the radical Islamist terrorists, including foreign jihadis that murdered people in Western Syria. The United States stands with Syria's religious and ethnic minorities, including its Christian, Druze, Alawite. Is that, did I say that right? Alawite?
Yeah.
Alawite and Kurdish communities. So our administration is trying to put the word out and share where we stand, put out that statement. But what can anything else be done from our end in America?
Obviously, we're going to pray as Americans for them. But what needs to happen probably is Israel or the United States has to intervene and take this guy out and take his regime out. And I know that kind of destabilizes everything. But the problem is Israel is already in Syria creating a buffer zone because they knew what kind of guy this is. I've seen articles from the Jerusalem Post and other Jewish news outlets. They know exactly what they're dealing with. They have to deal with this guy because he will eventually turn on them. And they are fully aware of that. Jihadists hate Jews and they hate Christians. And so, look, that's what you have to understand. Israel understands this. So maybe this calling up of the reservists is to prepare for taking out Syria, because we do have predictions in scripture where Damascus will completely be eliminated. Maybe that's part of this future aspect. But I do know this. Trump has even said, we're not going to allow this guy to go run roughshod. He said that a long time ago when this guy got in power. And so I'm expecting either a joint venture between the United States and Israel to do something about this and stabilize the area. If not, this guy will continue to run roughshod. And this poses not only a threat to the local population and the Christians there, but it poses a threat to Israel. And so now we have, situations brewing that prophecy starts weighing in on this, where you have a Psalm 83 invasion of an all-Arab invasion of all bordering countries that surround Israel, including Gaza, which also would include Syria and Lebanon and Jordan and every bordering country. And so what I think, David, is what's getting going down is the pieces of the puzzle are getting set for a future prophesied invasion of Israel. And so the table seems to be setting right in front of us, David.
And yeah, a lot of prophecy, a lot of things are coming to play. That's why it's good to be discerning about these friends. Don't get overwhelmed. There's a verse in Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So we are to do something. First of all, the beginning of that chapter, do not conform to the world's ways, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind in the Word of God. But then at the end of that chapter 12 in Romans, we are not to be overcome. God is for us. Who can be against us? Closing thoughts in the last minute, just to encourage people, Brandon, who are potentially looking at all these things and they really don't know how to respond.
Well, one of the things you can do when I'm talking to you, I'm saying the audience, is make sure what we talked about Israel, you take your stand for Israel, that your family knows where you stand. They understand the argument about the need for Israel in the Middle East, not only from a political standpoint, but from a religious standpoint. The second coming is predicated on Israel's acceptance of the Messiah. So it has all kinds of spiritual implications. So stand for Israel, protect the Jewish people, and let's pray for the Syrian Christians and look for ways to help them in this genocide that's happening there.
Brother, thank you for your voice and your ministry. I want to send people to tipofthespearministry.com, Tip of the Spear, Brandon Holthaus on YouTube as well, and pastor of Rock Harbor Church, a very fortunate congregation there in Southern California. Brother, we're going to do this again. We got another podcast coming up next week. So thanks for your time again.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, David, for having me. God bless you guys.
Bless you too. Guys, thanks again for sharing the podcast, getting us out there, for praying, not just for us, but for our administration and for Israel. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.